Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
And that brings the time to 4:39. We cross again to the United States, where Ilan Berman, who is the Senior Vice President of American Foreign Policy Council, joins us on the line. Ilan, thank you so much for chatting with us again. And so much happening. I almost feel that from hour to hour, the questions I want to ask change. But I wanted to start by asking you about a report that we've just received, that Iran is seeking talks with the United States and Israel by sending messages via Arab intermediaries to end hostilities. Are you hearing the same kind of reports? And if yes, do you think we could see an end to hostilities soon?
For having me again, as you said, every day seems like a week, and what we've seen is a real dramatic evolution of what's happening in the Middle East. But I think those reports are true. I've heard the same thing, and I think fundamentally what Israel has done in coordination with the United States has been to put Iran in front of a choice. It's a choice that frankly should have been presented a long time ago. But better late than never. And basically the choice is the Iranian regime can stay in business if it gets out of the nuclear business, or it can maintain its nuclear program and be put out of business. This is precisely the formula that the Trump administration is trying to impose based upon the pressure that Trump is getting from his own base here in Washington. And so it doesn't surprise me at all. That is the preferred outcome of the administration. And if the Iranians are serious, I've heard some caveats about this. The Iranians say that Israel has to stop bombing before they talk, which is not going to happen. I think time favors Israel. And so what we're likely to see is increasing Iranian attempts to de-escalate.
And some of the other caveats I've seen is the Iranian president saying, and I'm quoting, if America does not restrain the Zionist entity, we will have to respond in a more painful way. Is there any chance of the United States getting involved?
There actually is a very high chance of the United States getting involved for a couple of reasons. First of all, if the Iranians don't come to the table promptly, the American side understands that a lasting setback of the Iranian nuclear program can't be done by Israel alone. It's going to require, at the very least, the American provision of ordnance like bunker buster bombs. So it can get involved in that way. But there's also a secondary thing that is of, I think, extreme importance. There are, as U.S. Ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee has pointed out, there are something like 750,000 Israeli Americans or American, just Americans who are doing in Israel because they're doing business. This is a very large segment of the population proportionally because Israel is only 10 million people. The longer the conflict goes on, the more chances there are that one or more of these individuals are hurt or are killed, God forbid. And if that happens, then the United States will be dragged into this conflict in a much more full.
The U.S. has been moving significant military assets closer to Iran. Do you think we could also see the U.S. potentially getting involved in assisting Israel to take over the Fordo site? Because it's so deep in the ground, many of the experts we've been speaking to say that it will need American assistance, particularly from its your bombers or from your B-2 bombers in terms of destroying it.
Right. Fordo is really, because it's built into a mountain, it's hardened, it's buried underground. Fordo is a hard target. It is a harder target than Israel can take care of by itself. And so if there is not confidence that the Iranian regime is willing to throw open the doors of Fordo and demonstrate how it's dismantling Fordo, then getting rid of that facility, taking it off the table, requires the United States to get involved. And, you know, there are increasing indications that while the Trump administration is not interested in getting fully involved in the conflict itself, it's perfectly willing to assist. And that may extend to providing the bunker buster bombs that are necessary to eliminate Fordo.
How do you think this war will shift anti-Israel narrative in the United States, especially if it results in regime change?
Well, you know, all politics are local. So the thing that I've been watching very closely is what this has actually done to conservative politics within the United States. There is a rift within the Republican Party between the restrainers, the neo-isolationists, who want to decouple more from Israel, who see Iran as being a sort of a frivolous conflict. But increasingly, and if you saw the comments from President Trump over the weekend, you know, he made very clear that, you know, he stands with Israel. He stands in favor of 0% enrichment on the part of Iran. And he is driving the narrative right now. So you're seeing this wing of the Republican Party, at least for now, get put on the back foot. It is sort of not indicative of the larger trend line. What this does for anti-Semitism and for views of Israel, I think, depends how the conflict spins out. And it also depends, remember, there's another conflict that's ongoing simultaneously. Israel is still in Gaza. And when the dust settles from Iran, the question of the future of the Gaza Strip, the question of whether there's a ceasefire to be had, the question of prosperity for the Palestinians, they're going to come up again inevitably. The best the Israelis can do right now is to reset deterrence, to set the table, to demonstrate to the international community that they are doing not just something that's necessary for Israel, but something that's beneficial for the global community, and in that way, build goodwill.
Ilan, how dangerous are the Iranian sleeper cells in the United States?
Well, look, I think they're very dangerous. And it's not just in the United States. It's all over. But here in the United States, there is a real concern because, you know, as open source reporting has pointed out, the Iranians have attempted to assassinate President Trump in a serious manner at least twice. They have put on their hit list former senior officials like former National Security Advisor John Bolton, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. These are all these threats are taken very seriously, and there is a worry that if the United States gets fully involved, that these cells, these activists, could become activated in a way that would cause a tremendous amount of trepidation and instability inside American society.
Ilan, just while I listen to you, I can't help but wonder, why is Israel left to do almost all the dirty work in Iran on its own when the Iranian nuclear problem really affects the whole world?
Well, I mean, that's really, to me, the million-dollar question, because Israel has been trying for two decades, for a generation, to not be the only one to do this.
Exactly.
This is why the Israeli government has been so patient, frankly, I would argue too patient, in allowing international diplomacy with Iran to play out. But I think this was always in the cards. I think there was always this sense among some that I spoke to in Israel that inevitably it will fall to them. And frankly, that's, I think, understandable, because Israel sees Iran as an existential threat. America sees Iran as a grave threat, but it's separated from Iran by a large ocean. And so, you know, the immediacy of the danger that Iran poses is much clearer in Israel than it is in the United States. And so, you know, Israel's patience is not infinite, and it's now at an end.
Ilan Berman, Senior Vice President of American Foreign Policy Council, always such a pleasure to chat with you and get your insight. Thanks for joining us.